And we're going to bring up a number of interesting and deep principles. And we will put it all in the context of the times in which we are living, preparation for the end of time. But we're also going to put it in the context of the character of God and the gospel in the flood. Now, I don't know what you thought about the flood, but we're going to look at the flood from a different perspective altogether. So I want you to listen carefully. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our dear God and Father in heaven, we thank you that you are the kind of person that you are. You are all out to save us. And you have proved how much you loved us in the gift of your Son. When you give him, you give all. Surely you will not withhold any other blessing from us. So bless us now. Open up the eyes of our understanding that we may view you in the light of which Christ revealed you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. The gospel and the character of God in the flood. I'm going to do it developmentally as we move on. All right. Now, open your Bibles with me to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis, the 6th chapter. Genesis, the chapter 6. And we're going to read the account there of what actually happened. Genesis, the 6th chapter, reading from verse 5. And God saw... Everybody has it? Genesis chapter 6 from verse 5. You have it? Say amen.
Amen.
And God saw that the wickedness of man was
great
in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was what? Only evil continually. Verse 6. And it repented the Lord that he made man, and made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I have made man. Verse 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Lord found grace. Let's read also verses 17 and 18. 17, 18. And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh. Therein is the breath of life from under the heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant. And thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons, and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee. For, and every, verse 22, thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Alright? In Luke chapter 21, Jesus gave us a very important warning concerning the end. Luke chapter 21. Follow me there now. Luke chapter 21 from verse 34. Jesus said these words, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with what? Surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare, that word means trap, like a rat trap. For as a snare, it shall come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man.
Praise
Jesus
God.
Is the one. Look at verse. We have read verse, right? And Jesus in Matthew chapter 24, let's turn there as well. Matthew chapter 24, let's use the Bible. Matthew chapter 24, Jesus also predicted some important issues. From verse 37, everybody has it?
Amen.
Jesus is the one that said, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be.
Mm-hmm.
For as in the days that were before the flood, men were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be.
Praise God.
Very important. Jesus is the one that gives that parable, that word. Now, if human beings today suffer from a basic disease, what is that?
Not believing
the word of God. You don't believe the word of God, or not? We believe the word of man, but we do not believe the word of God. We believe the word of politicians, but we do not believe the word of God.
Amen.
We believe the word of doctors and lawyers, but we do not believe the word of God.
Mm.
So that's a basic disease that people suffer from just before the flood. They would not believe the word of God.
Yep.
And the word of God is much more powerful and reliable than the word of men.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, the Bible tells us that God does not change.
Mm.
And the word of the Lord is forever. It does not change. Whenever God says something, as a matter of fact, we look at creation and we see that God brought everything into existence through how? Through what?
Oh, His Word.
His word. In the beginning, God said.
He created that.
Everything came into existence through the Word of God.
Yes.
God spoke everything into existence. So the Word of God not only created the materials out of which the thing was formed, the Word of God created the thing itself.
Mm.
You follow me there?
Yes.
That's how powerful God's Word is. An experiment in the past showed that human voice and breath can create forms of living creatures from dust.
Mm.
On dust that is... As a matter of fact, an experiment was conducted one time by a lady by the name of Miss Hughes. She sprinkled some dust on a thin membrane, like a drum, and it had another open ending, and she spoke through the open ending, and her voice vibrated, and the dust vibrated on the membrane. And when they checked the dust that was on top of the membrane, it had the shape and forms of life.
Wow.
And she called that experiment visible sounds, S-O-U-N-D-S.
Wow.
And she came to the conclusion, like the psalmist David in Psalm 33, 6 and 9, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. And she said, if the breath from the mouth of a human being can create the forms of living things, what cannot the breath from the voice of God not do?
Wow, praise God.
Amen.
So the word of God brings into existence things that did not exist before.
Praise Jesus.
That is why it's impossible for God to lie.
Mm.
If you say something, if I tell you there's a cat and there's no cat, I have lied. But if there's no cat and God says there's a cat, the moment God says it, what happens?
It
comes into existence. That is why God cannot lie.
Amen.
You can afford to believe the word of God, because whatever God says will come to pass.
Amen.
Whether we believe it or not, whether we accept it or not, it will come to pass. So the basic disease that human beings were suffering from just before the flood was not believing the word of God.
Amen.
That is why Jesus, just before he comes again the second time, will say, I said, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?
Mm.
And faith must be based on what? The word of God.
Yes. Yes.
Hardly find faith. People look good, but they do not have faith in God. So we have read Genesis chapter 6. That's a basic disease. This is what the word of God says. Alright?
Yes.
Sorry, it was going forward there. Right. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, as it was in the days of Noah, and they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So Jesus certainly believed that there was a flood.
Yes, that's right.
Jesus believed that there was a flood. So whether people say that the flood is a fiction, but Jesus believed that there was a
flood.
So if Jesus, who is the Word of God, says in the Word of God that there was a flood,
there was a flood.
There was a flood. Not a myth. Not fiction.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus certainly believed in the flood, because he said, as it was in the days that were before the flood, so shall it be also in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. And he taught his disciples these principles. Now, scientists digging deep in the North Pole discovered a frozen animal resembling a cow with green grass in the stomach. Wow. Can you imagine that?
Wow.
Up in the North Pole. And they came to a conclusion that something catastrophic happened, that a civilization lived before a flood came and destroyed them all. Archaeologists, scientists, geographers, all have come to the same conclusion. But they are religionists today and priests who think that the flood was a
myth,
fiction.
Jesus.
The Bible tells us in 2 Peter chapter 3 from verse 3 to 14. Listen to what Peter says. As a matter of fact, turn there with me. I don't want you to be lost here. 2 Peter chapter 3. This is something worth reading as well.
Amen.
2 Peter chapter 3. So you're following me so far, because you're developing,
yes,
as it were. Don't miss it.
Yes.
They're coming to some serious conclusions at the end. 2 Peter chapter 3, starting from verse 3. Peter, the apostle Peter says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days, well, who? I didn't hear you.
Scoffers.
Scoffers, doing what?
Walking after their own lust
and saying, listen to what they're saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from beginning of creation. Mm-hmm. But do you hear that today? I've been hearing that Jesus was coming from the time I was a child.
Mm-hmm.
My parents and grandparents said that, and I've not seen him up to now. Mm-hmm. Jesus says that through the apostle Peter. People are asking the question, where is the promise of his coming? All things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Verse 5, for this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. We come into this now. Peter talked about three worlds. Verse 6, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. So world number one, the world that then was destroyed by
water.
Look at verse 6. Verse 7, sorry. But the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. World number two, heavens and the earth will be destroyed by
fire.
Are you following me so far?
Yes.
World number one was destroyed by
water.
World number two will be destroyed by
fire.
Okay, look at verse, next verse. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. For one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering to us word, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the element shall melt with fervent heat. Verse 13, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for
new
heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. So Peter talks about three worlds. The world that then was, which was destroyed by water. The heavens and the earth which are now, that will be destroyed by fire. And a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Now, let's look at the world that then was. World number one, the world that then was. The world that then was a virtual paradise. It was a what?
Paradise.
A paradise.
Yes.
There was no north pole and no south pole as we have it now.
Yeah.
The earth was one atmosphere.
Mm.
Because why was that? It was a cool, air-conditioned world, as it were. Why was that? Because on the first day of creation, God took a large quantity of water and put it above the firmament. That's the word firmament means expanse. Put it above the firmament. And the water under the firmament, he gathered together and called seas. So, on the first day of creation, the water above the firmament had the hot air was at the top. And the cool air was at the bottom. You know how air rises? Hot air at the top, cool at the bottom. So there was an air-conditioned paradise. The Bible tells us that Adam and Eve walked in the cool of the day. So it was an air-conditioned paradise, as it were. Everybody lived until. There was nothing to be afraid of at that time. Animals were vegetarian and tame. Man had dominion over the earth. The people at that time, the generation, were long livers. Men lived almost 1,000 years.
Yep.
Adam lived 950 years. Adam 930. Noah 950. Jared 962. Methuselah 969. And when they died, it was not of high blood pressure or cancer or diabetes or stroke or heart attack. It was simply
old age. Praise God.
The trees back then were huge and they were hard like rock. There's a four-lane highway over to the west of North America that covers with traffic, four lanes of traffic, two or three. Fruits were large and luscious and plenteous. The homes, the trees that were trained to grow in groves and in that kind of atmosphere, we had what we call a lot of negative ions in which everything was cool and the human brain was comfortable. But something went wrong with that civilization. What went wrong? That civilization, as bright and intelligent as that generation was, with 20 times more electrical force and impulses, powerful and fantastic memory, they left God out of their thinking and began to trust in themselves rather than
the word of God.
The Bible tells us that every imagination of the heart were only evil continually. So people woke up thinking evil, went to work thinking evil, ate their food thinking evil, went to sleep thinking evil. They burn in lust, anger, passion, greed, hatred, crime, selfishness, unforgiving spirit, resentful, violent. The Bible says every imagination of their heart was only evil how?
Continually.
Now there's one thing I want to highlight here. See that thing called an unforgiving spirit? An unforgiving spirit is a very dangerous spirit to cherish.
Mm-hmm.
It is what causes problems in homes, in churches, in schools, at work. An unforgiving spirit.
Oh yes.
But forgiveness is not for the other person, it's for you, you know.
That's right.
Because when you are unforgiving, when you can't find it in your heart to forgive another person, you are drinking poison and hoping that the next person is going to die. But who's going to die?
Oh, I love it.
Who's going to die?
You are.
The person who's cherishing it. So let it go.
I love
Amen.
That.
Amen.
Learn to forgive your neighbors.
Amen.
Forgive your sisters and brothers.
Amen.
And learn to treat each other better than before.
Oh,
Amen.
Amen.
1 Timothy chapter 4 verses 1 to 5 tells us the same thing as in the last days. The same thing will be occurring as in the last days. Same thing. Now, of the millions of people on the earth, at that time, the Bible said God spoke to one man, Noah. And Noah said yes to God.
Amen.
One man, Noah. God said, Noah, ahead is complete disaster. I want you to build me an ark, 150 yards long, 75 yards wide, and 50 yards high. And all the details were given to the minute. God told Noah, of the millions of people on the earth, God spoke to one man, Noah. and given his instruction. Noah preached for how long? 120 years. Noah preached, warning the people that a flood was going to come.
Yes.
That's the word of God to Noah. That was the word of God to Noah.
Yes.
Adam, God had told Adam, in the day that thou eatest, thou shalt surely
die.
And what God said was not a threat to Adam, or what he would do if he caught him eating. That's not what God meant.
That's right.
God was simply announcing to Adam the consequences of his choice.
That's
all.
That's it.
And it needs to be understood like that. But when people hear the word of God, they interpret it according to their own idea.
Mm.
So when God said to Adam, in the day that thou eatest, he was not giving Adam a threat, but was announcing the consequences. So while Noah preached, he built the ark.
Mm.
Every stroke was a warning to the people that the end is near. Every stroke. There were people who came and helped Noah build the ark, but they did not go into the ark. Did you know that? They are Noah's helpers.
Mm.
There are many people who are helping to build God's work, but they themselves will not go into the ark at that time.
Mm.
So, imagine an old man. Imagine an old man building a boat in the middle of nowhere in the desert, saying that a flood was going to come when rain had never fallen before.
Yes.
What would you think about such a man? The earth, the Bible said the earth back then was watered by a mist.
Right.
So there was no rain. Preaching in the middle of the desert, saying that a flood was going to come. So I could hear the scientists saying, the way how the atmosphere is structured, it is impossible for rain to fall.
Yeah.
And that was true.
Mm.
Hear the religionists of the day saying, God is a God of love. He would never destroy this earth by a flood. And they can hear the skeptics and the infidels mock on Noah, but they didn't realize that it had nothing to do with love.
Right.
But the rejection of that love.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
Good.
It was not the love of God, but it was the rejection of that love.
Praise God.
There comes a point in time when men make up their minds for or against God or reject Him. Against God or reject Him. And there's nothing. There's what?
Nothing.
Nothing that God can do to stop them from reaping what they have.
So
whatever you sow, you will
reap.
But a lot of people who don't want to reap certain things, but they want to sow certain things. Did you know that?
Yeah.
They don't like consequences that are negative, but they sow seeds that are
negative.
And if what you sow, you will
reap.
The Bible says that in Galatians chapter 6, you know, from verse 6. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. It's not saying that God is not mocked. It is saying God is not mocked, meaning you cannot mock God. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also
reap.
He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap
corruption.
He that soweth to the spirit shall of the spirit reap
everlasting
life. Everlasting. So be careful what you sow.
Amen.
Because you will surely reap at the end.
Amen. Amen.
Okay. So there comes a point in time when the human mind becomes fixed or made up. The human mind is of that nature that whatever it dwells upon and it keeps dwelling upon, after a while it will become fixed or locked in that position.
Yes. Amen.
Yes.
And human beings will reach that point in the history of this world soon.
Yes.
We call it the closure of human probation.
Yep.
God is not the one who will close probation. It is human beings and their choices that will close probation.
Praise.
This was the close of probation for the people before the flood. Are you following me so far?
Oh, yes.
All right, let's move on. The development itself. So, in our reaping. Now, the Bible mentions the concept of God's wrath.
Yes.
So, in our reaping, Galatians 6. But God's wrath is in the same context as the principle of sowing and reaping.
Right.
And even though the Bible uses the name God's wrath, we are not to interpret it as human behavior.
Yes.
It is divine behavior.
Yes.
God's wrath is divine behavior.
Yes.
So we are not to see it as man sees it, because God says, my ways are not
your ways,
neither are my thoughts your thoughts. For how wide is it? For as the heavens are higher than the earth,
So are my ways higher than
your
ways, and my thought than your thought?
Amen.
It is said that the sun is 93 million miles away. That's only the sun. And the nearest star is 240,000 light years away. Can you imagine that? And what does God say? My ways are not your ways, and as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thought than your thought. Thank you.
You are.
Interesting. So God's wrath is not to be understood to mean human wrath.
Right.
As a matter of fact, Romans chapter 1, verse 18 through 28, and James 1:20 tells us that God's wrath is not to be compared to man's wrath.
Hmm.
James 1:20 says, "For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." Now tell me, if the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God, can we ever compare God's wrath and man's wrath?
No.
Surely not.
No.
As a matter of fact, God's wrath means man's wrath is taking up a weapon, going to a subject and killing, or taking the life out of that person. God's wrath is his respect for creatures' freedom of choice and his being forced to give them up to the consequences of their choice. That's
amen,
God's wrath.
Amen.
You understand?
Good teaching.
Alright. God's ways are not our ways. No. So the time came when the ark was finished. God told Noah to take the animals into the ark, the clean animals by the seventh, and the unclean animals by the twos. Here's the next point. The people saw the animals going into the ark, and they were still unpersuaded.
Mm-hmm.
You follow me?
Yes.
That was by miracle, you know. The people saw with their eyes the animals coming out of the forest, out of the wild, and going to the ark.
Yes.
But yet they were still mocking and laughing at Noah.
Yep.
Amen.
Sure was.
They continued to mock and laugh at old Noah.
Mm.
And then said that he was working magic.
Mm. Amen.
Interesting. After the animals were in the ark, the door was
shut.
Meaning that everybody's mind was made up for or against God.
That's right.
It was shut by an angel from heaven. Meaning that everybody's mind was made up for or against God. And for 7 days, Noah and his family remained in the ark, and nothing happened for 7 days.
Mercy to God.
Now pay attention to this. 7 days. Do you know what? The people continue to mock and laugh, saying, "Noah, come out. Nothing is going to happen. Come out."
Mm.
What they didn't know was that changes were taking place in the sun, the moon, and the earth at that time.
Yes.
Changes were taking place. Now, you remember what happened at creation? God had made two great lights, the Bible tells us that. The greater light to rule the
day,
and the lesser light to rule the
night.
Okay, they had function. As a matter of fact, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. The greater light was the sun. The lesser light was the
moon.
Do you know that scientists who went to the moon brought back samples of the rocks that were there? And those rocks were luminous, meaning that the earth, the moon, was once a self-luminous object.
Wow.
It used to shine like the sun.
Wow.
But something happened when the flood came.
Yeah.
That these objects, the greater light, the sun and the moon, were responsible for high tide and low tide. And by their gravitational pull on the earth, they kept a large quantity of water above the firmament and under the firmament together.
Mm.
You follow me so far?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Alright, those who are in geography would know this. But the sun back then was not like our sun. According to Isaiah chapter 30 verse 26, the sun back then was 7 times hotter and brighter than the present sun. And the moon was the light of the present sun.
Wow, praise God.
And that's what it's just, we are living right now in night.
Wow.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
So back then the sun was 7 times brighter. Read it in Isaiah chapter 30 verse 26. When the Lord heals the breach and restores again what was there before, the light of the moon shall be as the sun,
And the light of the sun shall be the light of 7 days. Seven times brighter and hotter. And with the sun and the moon united together and their impact on planet Earth, the water above the firmament was kept in place, and the water under the firmament was kept in place. The gravitational pull of the sun and moon on the earth kept the waters in place.
Praise
the Lord. But on the eighth day, nothing seemed to happen during the first 7 days, but changes were occurring. But on the eighth day, you know, human beings are very difficult when it comes to accepting the gospel of salvation. And there's a reason for that. There's a reason for that too. Because human beings somehow have been deceived into thinking that the problem is what we have done. The problem is what? What we have done. That's not the gospel, you know. The gospel is not designed primarily to deal with what we have done.
Mm.
Our basic problem is who we are.
Yes. Yes.
Who we are determines what we do.
Mm. Yes.
So long as we are who we are, we will continue to do what we
do.
So it is not what a man does that makes him what he is.
Amen.
A man can steal 100 sheep. That does not make him a thief. Are you following me there?
Yeah.
A man can tell 100 lies. That does not make him a liar. A man can kill 1,000,000 people. That does not make him a murderer. It is what he is that causes him to do what he does.
Right. Exactly.
It is because he's a thief that he steals. It is because he's a liar that he lies.
Yep.
It is because he's a murderer at heart that he kills.
Yes.
So it is who we are that makes us do what we do. But there are many people who are trying to become Christians by stopping doing wrong things.
Oh, that's good teaching.
That's not the problem.
Good.
The problem is not what we have done. The problem is who we are. When we learn to recognize that that's where the problem is, we will come to God in confession, confessing first who we are, asking his forgiveness, cleansing, and deliverance from the bondage of sin, and then we will ask his forgiveness for what we have done.
Amen. Amen.
Mm. One is deliverance from the bondage of sin, the other one is forgiveness for sins past. Now, when you really study the gospel of Christ, which was here there rejected by the people just before the flood, the people before the flood did not recognize that who they were or had become had been the problem.
Mm.
Jesus understood this principle clearly when he says, a good tree bringeth forth
good fruit.
Good fruit. And a corrupt tree brings forth
corrupt
fruit. Every tree is known by its fruit.
Yes.
So Jesus understood the principle is who you are that determines what fruit you will bring forth.
Yes.
So the problem is not trying hard to do what is right and what is good.
Yes.
The problem is who we are. A good man, Jesus said, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth that which is
good.
And an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, brings forth that which is
evil.
From the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. It comes from the heart. Comes from the heart. And then, everything else flows forth from there. So Jesus understood the principle. The axe, John the Baptist said, must be laid at the root. But many people are hitting the branches and the leaves. The branches and the leaves are not the problem. The axe must be laid at the
root.
There are a lot of people who are not willing to change. They want to make a modification of their lives, but they don't want to change. They don't want to stop what they are doing. They don't want to change who they are. They're not serious yet. Because until you are willing to surrender who you are, you will never become a Christian.
Amen. Amen.
But we are willing to experiment. We want to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a little while longer. We are not willing to let up or give up that attitude, that spirit that we have, that is causing us to do what we do.
Jesus.
The other day I gave a talk in Barbados, and I showed that attitude is more important than everything else. Your attitude is more important than your education. It is more important than your wealth. It is more important than your skill or talent. Because you can have talent, you can have wealth, you can have education, and have a bad attitude.
Mm.
It is more important than religion. Because you can have all the religion of the world and have a bad attitude.
Amen.
So your attitude is more important to God than anything else.
Yes.
Because your attitude will determine your altitude, how far you go and get through in life. There are people who are not educated, they are not wealthy, but they have sweet attitudes.
Wow.
And there are people who are right rich, and they are increased with goods, and they have some bad attitudes.
Mm.
Your attitude towards people tells your attitude towards God.
Amen. Lord Jesus. Oh, I love
and people are watching, they're looking on to see those who are Christians, to see if what they have is working for them. Because if they see that what you have is not working for you, they will not be convinced that it will work for them.
That's right.
Are you following me so far?
Yes. Yes.
If what you have is not working for you, they will not be persuaded that it will work for them. But if they see it working for you, it will recommend itself to them, because they will say, I want what he has. I want what she has. I like that spirit. Because people catch our spirit before they catch our message.
Amen.
Amen.
Are you following me?
Yes.
And if they like the spirit, they will accept the message. The word of God is very clear when it comes to matters like these. It is who we are that determines what we do. The people of the flood have become corrupted, and all the works that they manifested were works of corruption. So, a liar tells lies, a thief steals, a murderer kills. What do sinners do?
Sin.
Sin. So long as you are a sinner, you cannot help but sin.
Yep.
Sinners sin by nature. We will have to be transformed by the power of God.
Amen.
Indwelling sin, the power of indwelling sin in us must be broken.
Yes.
And a new spirit must be put in us.
Yes.
Let this mind be in you which was also in
Christ Jesus.
And if the mind of Christ Jesus dwells in us, what will it do? All that it did in him, it will do in
us.
Amen.
That's why Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but
Christ
liveth in
me.
And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God,
Amen.
Who loved me and gave himself for me.
Amen.
So when God imparts the mind of Christ into us, that mind of Christ brings the faith of Jesus, which gives us victory over sin.
Amen.
In this present life.
Amen. Amen.
I hear some people say, is it possible to live without sinning in this present world? Well, I must say, the Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is
in the world.
In the world.
That's right.
God also says through the apostle Jude, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. Is God able?
Yes, he is.
Can God keep us from falling?
Yes.
Does God keep the sun, the moon, and the stars from falling?
That's right.
Do you ever doubt that someday, some morning you wake up, the sun, moon, and stars are going to fall up?
Yes.
Or do you believe that God's power is able to keep you from falling, like how he keeps the sun, the moon, and the stars from falling?
Yes.
The Bible tells us that God upholds all things by the word of his power. Is the Christian included in the all things?
Yes.
Amen.
Can God keep a Christian from falling?
Yes.
In word, in thought, and in action?
Yes.
The Bible says with men this is impossible.
Great.
But with God all things are possible. Praise the Lord. All things. You can become the husband. You can become the wife. You can become the child that God wants you to be, because all things with God are possible. The impossible becomes possible through the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Now, if these principles were understood, there are many people who would have a much richer experience with God.
Yes.
Much better. All right, so let's move on with the story as we come to a conclusion. So on the eighth day, the atmosphere that was cool and gentle began to change.
Mm.
People felt a chill. Soon the sun cooled down and the moon went out. Right now the moon is only a reflector of the sun's light, whereas it was once a subluminous object of great light.
Yes.
I already mentioned that. The rocks that were found from the moon were igneous and fiery. And then they saw clouds break up. Whereas before, there was never a cloud. The earth was one landmass, and there was one cloud. Okay? The earth was one landmass, there was one mantle of water vapor right around the entire earth. And if you doubt that, the proof is there in Job 30. And let's read that, because I have to make sure you're grounded on the word when it comes to this one. Yeah. Job chapter 38, book of Job, the 38th chapter. Job chapter 38, everybody has it?
Almost
there. Job chapter 30, because we're going to read two things from Job to make sure that you're clear there.
Amen.
One now and one later. Job chapter 38.
I'm there.
You want to see what the mechanism of the earth was at the time just before the flood.
Yes. Amen.
Job chapter 38 from verse 9. Listen to this language straight from the book of Job. Job asked the question, as a matter of fact, let's start from verse 4. Where wast thou when I laid the foundation of the earth? So it's talking about creation. Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measure thereof, if thou knowest, or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened, or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Or who shut up the sea with doors when it break forth, as if it had issued out of the womb? Verse 9. When I made the cloud, the what?
The
garment thereof. One cloud, the garment thereof. And the thick darkness, a swaddling band for it. Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
So, the earth before the flood had a thick swaddling band around it, a mantle of water vapor, so that when the sun, seven times hotter, hit that mantle, the hot air remained at the top, the cool air at the bottom, so Adam and Eve walked in the cool of the day.
Amen.
Amen.
So there was no rain. The earth was mortar watered by a mist. So never any rain. But the people saw clouds break up, whereas before, there was never clouds. And the earth was one landmass.
Wow.
The earth was one landmass. Yeah. The scientists and the geographers today say that the whole island, the whole countries of the world and the island can fit together like a jigsaw puzzle forming one landmass. And if that is the case, then the earth would have only one mantle of cloud around the earth. Can you imagine that? Yeah. Just as was it was before the flood. But something happened to the civilization back then. The people felt drops of rain, whereas before there was never rain. The animals, who can sense natural danger more than man, ran to man for safety. And there was a panic everywhere. Men ran to the ark's door asking Noah to open, but it was too late. And with the panic came something called the repentance of fear. There are two types of fear in the Bible. One fear has to do with the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. Fear God and give glory to Him. That's the fear of the Lord. And the other one has to do with being afraid. Yeah. God told Abraham and others, fear not.
Yeah.
You follow what I mean?
Yes.
Fear not.
Yes.
So there are two fears in the Bible and two repentances. And back then, when the people began to fear, it brought the repentance of fear. They were not afraid of sin. They were afraid of the consequences of sin. You know, as human beings, we don't see anything really wrong with sin. We think that the problem is with God.
Yep.
When we sin. You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
The problem is not with sin so much. We can sin and live on forever. But the problem is God when we sin.
That's what we think.
Yep. That's what we think. So we are not afraid of sin. We are afraid of
God.
Because God, if God catch you, be careful. God will catch you.
Yeah.
You either turn or burn. Do as He say or else.
We blame it on Him.
But God says, no, the problem is not me. The problem is
sin.
Sin causes a separation between the creature and the Creator.
Yes.
Sin cuts you off. Your iniquities hides my face from you.
There it is.
That's what God said.
Yep.
It is like illustration I like to use. If every time a patient had cancer, they never came out of the doctor's office, but the people heard that they died. You know, they end with cancer, but they never came back out. And they heard that the person died. Tell me, who would people be afraid of? What would people be afraid of? The doctor or cancer?
The doctor.
Because they would never have seen cancer kill anybody.
Yeah.
But they would have heard that the person died while they went to the doctor.
Yep, that's right.
The same thing is true. People are not afraid of sin. They are afraid of God. Because they believe that God kills you when you sin.
Yes.
When the problem is sin itself.
There it is.
Your iniquities have separated between you and your God.
Yep.
There are some people who believe that there's nothing really wrong with stealing except that you may be caught. When something is wrong with stealing itself, it affects your judgment and mentality. After a while, you see right as wrong and wrong as right.
Yes, that's right.
But some people believe nothing wrong with stealing, only that somebody may catch you. Is that only what is wrong with stealing?
No.
So people have a very false notion. All of these things need to be cleared up. And only through the lens of the character of God message can we have the right definition of sin and a right understanding of faith, which means to trust God for the kind of person that he is. And Jesus said, this is life eternal, that they might
know
thee. Eternal life is bound up with a true knowledge of God.
That's right.
And Jesus Christ, whom he have sent. Jesus came to reveal the truth about God's character.
Yes.
And because they had a wrong conception of God's character, they told themselves that the revelation that you are given about God does not harmonize with the Old Testament. So they got rid of Jesus Christ in order to sustain their views. The religionists of Jesus' day, a Sabbath keeping religionist group, put Jesus Christ to death because their religion was more important than Jesus Christ. Can you imagine that? Now we are living at a time now where to reject what God has done for us in Jesus Christ is to commit the unpardonable sin. What is the unpardonable sin? It is the rejection of the one gift of salvation that God has already given to us in Jesus Christ.
Yes.
It is not committing murder or adultery or anything like it. It is the one sin of rejecting God's offer of salvation in Jesus Christ. Because only that can save you from everything else.
Praise God.
Amen.
Praise Jesus.
Think about it. Jesus experienced the separation. The Bible tells us he tasted death for every man. Experienced separation and died the death that Adam should have died. But all those who reject his offer of salvation would have to die their own death, separation. And that's what sin causes, separation. So when sin entered this universe, it made changes in man, it made changes in animals, it made changes in nature, but it made absolutely no change in God. Because the Bible tells us God is the incorruptible God. With him is no variableness, neither shadow of
turning.
God does not change.
That's right.
And God said about where Adam sinned, you see, he lost his perfect spirituality or mind first. He fell in three stages. He lost his perfect mind or spirituality first. Then his body became fallen. And then he was driven out of his perfect home environment. The plan of redemption is to give back to man all that he has lost because of sin. And just as he lost them in stages, God proposes to give them back to him in stages as well.
Amen.
And the first thing God must do must put his perfect mind or spirituality in us. And then he will give us a new body at the second coming of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The Bible says, who shall change our vile bodies that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. And then God will put man back into his perfect home environment. Complete restoration from the plan, in the plan of redemption.
Amen.
Complete.
Amen.
Right now we are living in this world. And in many cases we are being distracted by the things of this world, not understanding that the end is near.
that Jesus is coming soon. And there are many people who are not afraid of sin, but they are afraid of the consequences of sin. Had the rain stopped falling, they would have gone back sinning just as before. That's not true repentance. There are many people who are serving God out of fear, or for reward, or because they want to escape hell or go to heaven. Their motivation is wrong. The rain came down in large buckets of water. It was not just drops, you know. Because when the heavens broke up and the great heat, the deep of the earth broke up, when the Spirit of God withdrew, now from holding everything in check, the mantle of water vapor that was above and the water from the great deep broke up. It was complete disaster. The rain came down in large buckets of water, uprooting trees and burying them deep into the earth, which later turned to coal and oil. And then the springs and the fountains of the deep broke up. The sea and the rivers overflowed their boundaries. I tell you, it was a total devastation. Total devastation. People ran to the highest mountains at that time for deliverance, for escape. But there was none that was not covered. None. It was too late. Every living thing outside of the ark drowned. All the animals and humans turned to natural gas. And that's the natural gas we are living from today. You know that? All the human beings that were destroyed from the flood, and the animals, when they were buried deep into the earth, turned to natural gas. You know you can make natural gas on your own? Take some cow down or some animal, so then I'll put it in the ground, cover it, and then smell it after a few days. But natural gas. Natural.
Wow.
Only Noah and his family were saved and saved in the ark because they believed
the word of God.
The word of God.
Praise God.
Word of God is sure. Noah knew God personally. He loved God. He desired to please God. And those are the three things that we need. We need a true conception of the kind of person that God is. We need to love Him. And we need to trust Him and surrender to Him. Jesus left heaven to come down to earth to give us a true picture of the kind of person that God is. Jesus.
Yes.
And when they took him and hung him up on the cross, Jesus was virtually saying, you can treat me as you like, but you can't stop me from loving you.
Amen. Beautiful. Amen.
That's the kind of person God is.
Amen.
That's
amen.
Beautiful.
Amen.
God is like that.
Yes. Amen.
Treats us better than we deserve.
Oh, yes.
Always reaching out towards us, extending his mercy towards us. The only Noah and his family were saved and saved in the ark because they believed the word of God. And God put a rainbow of promise around the earth. Did you know that?
Mm.
Now there are some people who have a certain concept of that rainbow. The Bible says God put a rainbow around the earth as a sign that the waters will no more become a flood. You know what I mean? The rainbow in the sky is a sign that the waters will never be to that capacity of forming one mantle of water vapor to become a flood to destroy the earth again like it did before. That's what that means. But people understand it to mean that God, that rainbow means that God lost his temper, repented, and put a rainbow in the sky to remind himself that he will never do it again.
No, that's not it.
Is that what the rainbow is about?
No.
False concept of God's character. No. Let's look at some mechanisms. You need this one. Job 22. Let's see exactly what happened just before the flood, or at the time of the flood. Job chapter 22. You need to read this one with me. Job chapter 22.
Good passage.
Listen to word, what really happened at the flood. It was not God drowning people because they weren't following his way. Listen to what really happened. Job 22 from verse 15 through 17. Mechanism. Bible always explains itself.
Yep.
The Bible is its own dictionary. It defines words. The Bible is its own expositor.
Yes.
Job 22 from verse 15. What does it say? Listen to the language. Hast thou marked the old way which wicked men have trodden, which were cut down out of times, whose foundations were overflown with a
flood.
Listen to the language now. Which said unto God, depart from us, and what can the Almighty do for them? What did the people before the flood tell God?
Depart from us.
Depart from us. Leave us alone. Yeah. And when God departs, what happens?
Flood.
Destruction comes. Yeah. Because God is the one who holds everything together. So when God, who holds everything together, is forced to leave,
glory to God.
Destruction comes.
Glory to God.
The God is the kindest and most loving person in the universe.
He sure is.
And he's the greatest beggar too. Mm. God begs and begs and begs us to choose life.
Yes,
but we choose death instead. Yes. We are too proud to believe that such a God can be so humble.
I believe it.
Isaiah chapter 54 gives us another mechanism and explains what happened before the flood. Isaiah 54, 7 to 10. I need to give you these before it close off. Alright? Isaiah 54.
This is good. Keep on.
Isaiah 54 from verse 7. Listen carefully. Isaiah 54 from verse 7. Isaiah, the gospel prophet, chapter 54 and verse 7. Listen to Isaiah. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath, in a little what?
Wrath,
I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord my Redeemer. Listen to verse 9. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. Verse 10, for the mountain shall depart, and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord, that have mercy on thee. So you see what you see the mechanism for the destruction? In a little wrath, God hid his face, and that is what caused the destruction of the earth by a flood.
That's
God hiding his face. Why? Because Habakkuk 1:13 says, God is of purer eyes than to behold evil, and cannot look on iniquity. So whenever he sees sin or iniquity, he hides his face. When he hides his face, destruction comes. Alright. I already read 1 Peter chapter 3. And Isaiah 59, hear that one. You have Isaiah 54 now. Let's read chapter 59, verse 1 and 2. Listen to this. Isaiah 59. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. Look at verse 2. But what?
Your iniquities
have done what?
Separated
between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not
hear.
So sin separates. From the time Adam sinned, he plucked humanity out from God, and we were all born dying until we die.
Yes.
Jesus came, the second Adam, praise God.
Amen.
And to grab that benefit of man, as it were, plug that back into God so that we can have life and life forevermore.
Amen.
Interesting, huh?
Yes.
Yeah.
The first Adam sold us all out. You and I were in Adam when he sinned.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Did you know that?
Yep.
All humanity was in Adam. I told that to a class one day of children, and one little girl said, you mean that Adam was that pregnant? The little girl understood it to mean that Adam was that pregnant. All humanity was in Adam when Adam sinned.
Yeah.
Where were you and I when Adam sinned? We were in Adam. And therefore we received all that Adam should have received. Where were you and I when Christ got the victory? Thank God, all humanity was also constituted in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So it has to do with which Adam you want to come under. The first Adam or the
Second, that second Adam concept is mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45, right through to verse 48. Second Adam concept. Two Adams. One brought condemnation, the other one brought deliverance from the condemnation. One brought rejection, the other one brought acceptance with God. The first Adam sold us all out. The second Adam bought us back. The first Adam brought that condemnation. The second Adam reversed the condemnation so that all human beings are born free to serve Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If ever we are lost, it will not be because of the sins and separation of the first Adam. The first Adam made his choice, sold us all out. The second Adam came and bought us back. If ever we are lost, it will be because of all our own choice.
Amen.
So we have three choices. The choice of the first Adam, the choice of the second Adam, and now our choice as to which Adam we want to come under.
Wow, that's
interesting,
good.
Huh?
That's good.
Interesting. All right.
Fantastic.
We're coming down.
Wow.
God did not cause or bring the flood. People destroy themselves by pushing away God, who was upholding everything, and rejecting his only means of saving and protecting them, which was the ark. There was nothing God could do but respect their freedom of choice and leave them alone to the consequences of their choice. So when a human being makes up his mind, this is what he wants to do, God does not force his will upon them. He respects their choice. He leaves them alone to reap what they have sown. Nothing God can do.
Amen.
And though everybody outside the ark drunk, it was too late. The door was shut. The waters came down. They tried. They could not only for a few days. And the Bible tells us the waters were upon the earth for a very long time. Another flood is coming. What did I say? Another flood is coming. Not of water this time, but
fire.
Fire. World number one was destroyed by water. World number two will be destroyed by
fire.
Another flood is coming. There are those today who are preaching to come into the hour of safety.
Yes.
Those today are preaching it. Like Noah preached, and the people listened and mocked and laughed and took casually. They are known to their preaching that there's another flood coming and the world is coming to an end. The ark back then was made out of wood, shittim wood. The ark today is a person, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
When we get into the ark of safety before it is forever too late, is what God desires.
Amen.
Flood of fire coming. How do we get into the ark? We get into the ark by having a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's how we get into the ark. The ark is a personal. We get into the ark by having a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's number one. John 17:3 says, "This is life eternal, that they might know thee." 1 John 5 verses 11 and 12 says, "This is the record that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that has the Son has
life.
He that has not the Son has not
life.
How do you get into the ark? By surrendering our lives fully to him. It is Christ's way or no way.
Yes.
Christ must be Lord of all or not Lord at all. There are a lot of people who want to come to church and sing and praise God, but they do not want to make a total surrender of their lives to him.
Mm-hmm.
But Christ must be Lord of all. We must be willing to make that full sacrifice or not make it at all.
Yes.
You know, I like to tell this story. It brings up an important point. A story is told of a legendary story of a pig and a chicken who were walking down the road one day. And they saw a big sign by a church which said, "Help wanted." And they asked the question, "How can we help these dear people?" And they tossed about ideas as to what they can do. And then the chicken came up with a wonderful idea. "Why not let's give them some bacon and eggs?" And the pig turned to the chicken with an upset face
and said, that's all right for you to say. You can lay an egg and go about your business. But for me to give bacon, it calls for total sacrifice. You get the point? You get the point? But there are many people who want to lay a religious egg and go about their business, but they do not want to make a total surrender of their lives to Christ.
Amen.
To become genuine, sincere, honest Christian. They don't want that. They want to do partial church, part of the world. But Christ must be Lord of all, or not Lord at all. A total surrendering of their life fully to Him. Trusting to Him fully for our salvation through faith alone.
Yes.
Accepting the good news of what Christ has already done for us. We call it charizomai. What God has already done for us in Jesus Christ is the charizomai. When we accept it, is another Greek word called aphini. When we accept it, we experience it, and it sets us free. And living daily for Him. Total surrender. What will our decision be today? What will our decision be today? Christ is coming soon. The end is near. Only a people who have a right conception of God's character and understand that at the time of the flood, God was seeking to save rather than destroy. Because the Bible tells us in Peter that God saved 8 people by water. And what is the gospel? The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. So down in the time of the flood, God was seeking to save, not destroy. Destruction came because of rejection of God's effort to save. And that is how it always happens. God is always in the saving and healing business. And destruction comes upon those who reject God's offer of salvation. And the encouragement to all of us is to get into the ark now, soon, before, or it will be too late. Now I close with a story. There are two words in the Greek for time. My time is gone. Two words in the Greek for time. One is called chronos, which has to do with time by the clock. And the other word in the Greek is a word called kairos. K-A-I-R-O-S. A kairos time is a time that is loaded with consequences. If you miss a kairos moment, it may not come back your way again.
Yes.
It comes in cycles. It may not come back in your life again. When we miss those moments. Example. At a university, there were some students who were preparing for an exam. A particular student who came to class, sat in the back, was very depressed and sad and could hardly concentrate. A pastor who was in the same class preparing for the exam saw the young man and said, I'm going to have a chat with him after the class because he looked depressed. But after the class, he was so caught up in the lesson that he went to the tutor to ask a question, and the young man slipped out and was gone. The next morning, newspaper read, first year called university students commit suicide. That pastor had missed his kairos moment for that chap. Every day, kairos moments are passing us by. Writing a letter saying we are sorry, asking forgiveness, surrendering fully to God. Kairos moments. Moments that are loaded with eternal consequences.
Yeah.
Opportunities to do good, to help people, to be a blessing to humanity. And we let these moments slip.
Jesus.
Souls that could be pointed to Jesus Christ. Given literature so that they follow Jesus Christ. And God can work on them by His Spirit. Kairos moments. I shall pass through this world by once. If there's any good I can do, let me do it
now.
For I may never pass that way again. Today could be your kairos moment. Will you let it pass? Or will you surrender fully and make up your mind to stop skylarking, as we say in the Caribbean, with God and take Him seriously and to become committed and to get into the ark of a relationship with Jesus Christ before it is forever too late. May God's Spirit wrestle with our spirits, leading us to the point of surrendering all to Jesus.
Amen.
Listening to the preaching of Noah today, getting into the ark of safety, remaining in the ark, so that when destruction comes, we will be saved and saved eternally. May God bless us as we capitalize on that Kairos moment, allowing Jesus to come into our heart and to transform us and to give us a different view about God's character, so that we can love Him, trust Him, and long to meet Him. Is my prayer for all of us. Let us pray. Our gracious God and Father, we realize that the end is near.
Yes,
that Lord. Jesus is coming again. And only a people who have a right conception of your character and who love Jesus and who get to know you as the kind of person that Christ revealed you to be, only us, only that people can be prepared for the end of this world. Give us a right conception of your character and what it means to go into the ark of safety today, so that your people can be prepared for the end of this world. Bless us. We know that world number one was destroyed by water. World number two will be destroyed by fire. But thankfully, we look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. So bless your word to our heart. Let the mind of Jesus Christ and His faith be in us, so that we can truly give to the world a demonstration of the kind of person that you are, and thus hasten Christ's coming. We thank you for speaking to us tomorrow this day, and continue to abide with us. Bless this congregation. May they truly become animated with the kind of person that you are, and love you, endlessly falling in love with you, no matter what may come therein. So bless, guide, and direct. Thank you for hearing, for answering our prayer. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
You may be seated for just a moment. Oh man, this was good. This I love this teaching. This is the kind of teaching I can't really